You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Ready to go on a Thursday, January 9th edition of the program. As we welcome you aboard, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour, your local afternoon programming block getting underway. We're followed by Spencer on sports from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, taking everybody up to the action tonight. The first of the semifinals, as it will be Penn State and Notre Dame going at it in the Orange Bowl this evening. We'll have that game for you right here on 1600 ESPN. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me on the southwest side, and Andrew on the other side of the glass in a chilly producer's area here today. How cold is it?
It's too cold. You said it was 61 in there. I don't know what it is out here.
Yeah, it's chilly in here today. It's chilly in here. Yeah. Mark is, I'm sure... Yeah, it's fine on the back porch today, right? It's a beautiful sunny day in eastern Iowa.
As always, Scott, good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And busy day in the home office, but I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it has been a busy day, but a good busy. And we're gonna put 100% of our attention to you, our listener, here today for this hour of programming. And we are going to talk to Kevin Lehman, the coach, coming up in a little bit. Our Off the Glass segment each Thursday right here on 1600 ESPN on the Gym Class, brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. Lots to talk to, including maybe the greatest analogy that I have run across from Kevin Lehman ever. I will not spoil it. I will give him full credit for that, Mark, and we will have that later on today.
Got the same thing, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one. We'll get you a little college basketball before we talk to Kevin as well. We'll talk a little bit about the Orange Bowl coming up tonight as Penn State takes on a Notre Dame team that's got a little bit of sickness going through the locker room right now. Don't know how much that is going to affect the Irish coming up tonight. May not affect them at all. We'll have to wait and see. But first of the two semifinals coming up this evening. But Mark, the big news today, we start with college football and yet another commitment to Kirk Ferentz, maybe to Tim Lesner and Kirk Ferentz in the Iowa football team today. But Sam Phillips, wide receiver, very sought after wide receiver from Chattanooga, a moving mock, is now a Hawkeye, and 78 targets last year, zero drops. For this young man, he can play the slot, he can play the outside receiver, he can line up in the backfield, he lined up everywhere for Chattanooga, and a lot of people think this is a pretty good get for the Hawkeyes.
And a lot of people hope it pans out for the Hawkeyes. Phillips with 153 career catches, over 2,000 yards, and 9 touchdowns in his career with Chattanooga. He's only going to have 1 year of eligibility left. But I think Hawkeye fans hope it's an excellent one.
Well, he'll be in there with Mark Gronowski. They're going to be the Hawks are hoping anyway, a formidable passing duo out there. And you put that together with the wide receiver room that Iowa has coming back. I mean, you're talking about Jarrett Bowie in there, Jacob Gill. If he can stay healthy, Seth Anderson, Dayton Howard, like we talked with David Eicholt on Tuesday. And if you missed that interview we had with David Eicholt, you can go back and listen to that and any of our local programs, Todd Brommelkamp Show, Spencer on Sports, our program. You can go to those podcasts. They're available at KGYMradio.com, Apple or Spotify. But, you know, it's not the – is it the greatest – quarterback wide receiver room ever in college football? No, we know that, but it is improving. And I think above all else, I think Tim Lester is starting to get his guys. And I think Tim Lester is starting to have a good impact as far as national recruiting is concerned in the Iowa football program?
It would appear so anyway, and I would expect, you know, the most improvement is from game one to game two in a season, maybe from season one to season two for Tim Lester, because it's difficult to, you know, implement an offense, and if you don't have the right pieces to do certain things, that makes it more difficult. No, it's not the greatest wide receiver room, but Phillips has more depth there, more possibilities. I think Caden Wiegen, as David Eichholz said, he could be a factor as well in a slot situation.
And don't forget about Vander Zee.
Yeah.
I think, obviously, he was the impact player this year among the freshman group coming in and should be just as good next year, hopefully, if he is healthy for Iowa. It's getting better. It's getting better. The offense took a Herculean leap stat-wise last year from the, well, had to go up, Mark. Couldn't go down, as we know. The 2023 version of the Iowa offense was dead last in Division I football. About mid-pack last year, and if they can make another 15-position leap, I think that's going to be another big factor of how good this team could be with a much tougher schedule, albeit next year.
That's the last thing I was going to mention. You're talking about leaps. Iowa's going to take a leap in schedule difficulty next year, and it's going to need all hands on board to tackle that schedule.
Yeah, it is. 83-10 saying it is a beautiful 82 degrees in the Dominican Republic today. It says stay warm. Greetings to everyone down there in the Dominican Republic listening in to the program here today. 319-366-1600, that is the text line available to you. That's the phone line as well if you'd like to pick up the phone and give us a call. Again, 319-366-1600. We'll get you an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. We'll have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you before 4 o'clock here this afternoon as well. And we've got football tonight. Should talk about that as well, Mark. We are not going to pick this game. I believe we're not. Well, we are not picking this game. We're picking tomorrow night's semifinal for the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, where one of our listeners can win a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway. That'll be coming up tomorrow. But Penn State and Notre Dame coming up tonight. I think it's going to be a whale of a football game.
I think so, too, and I'd be fine with picking it tomorrow since the game's tonight.
I know.
Yeah, I think it's going to, and the spread indicates as much. It's only a 1.5 to 2-point spread. The thing that does concern me, and you referenced it, is the apparent flu outbreak with Notre Dame. I don't know how serious it is, how widespread it is, whether it's going to be a factor or not, but these two, Abdul Carter for Penn State is apparently a game time decision, although James Franklin says his star defensive player is a go. So there is that as well. But I've really been impressed with both teams. Certainly Notre Dame, that blip against Northern Illinois seems like a long, long time ago. The Irish have played very well, and I don't think a lot of people are talking about it because of how good Ohio State has looked. And I think everybody, most people anyway, believe Ohio State's going to win the national championship. But this would be a difficult game to pick, and I'm glad we're not doing it. But I'll take Notre Dame.
I think I'm taking Penn State just for several factors. I think both these teams are playing their best football right now. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I just like the moxie of this Penn State team. And I like the fact that America is just going to go nuts if James Franklin gets into the national championship game. I'm all for chaos in 2025. The more people that hate James Franklin, I think the better. And let's get him into the championship game. I said they'd make the Big Ten championship game. So here you go. Couple things for our listeners out there. Who do you think is going to win tonight, Penn State or Notre Dame, and why? 319-366-1600. And here we go. With the first college football playoff, Mark, you're not going to have a conference champion winning. the national championship. So correct. Much like March Madness, most of the time, you're going to have that now in, I guess, what, January, December Madness.
That's the way it's turned out right now. And not that the best, you know, best teams haven't, you know, ended up in this position, because I think these are the four of the best teams in the country. But I really like, you talk about James Franklin, I really like what Marcus Freeman has done with Notre Dame. I mean, they're in it to win it. I don't think there's any question about it. But they did the last game, subbing 11 for 11 on that punt situation and converting the first down. And Kirby Smart objected, said, oh, the SEC official said we can't do that. It was brilliant. It was a brilliant move, and I think is evidence the fact that he and Notre Dame are all in on this one, as they should be.
Well, it's brilliant. I think that this whole substitution thing is going to be addressed in the offseason, because it's getting a little ridiculous. But that's a whole different subject out there. I like Drew Aller right now. I like both of these quarterbacks, really. Aller and then Riley Leonard. Riley Leonard is a sneaky, good NFL prospect. And I know that's a whole level above what we're dealing with tonight with this game. But I really think he could play on Sundays in the National Football League. He reminds me, I know a lot of our listeners probably don't remember, he reminds me of a Phil Sims from his day back in Delaware. Remember that? I mean, Phil Sims was not thought of highly until he became a really good quarterback. Now, granted, the New York Giants had a lot of talent around him, but Phil Sims was very, very good. Riley Leonard kind of reminds me of a Phil Sims a little bit.
He reminds me of a Baker Mayfield in terms of the style of play, because he's a good passer and maybe not as good as Mayfield. He probably isn't, but he can throw the ball, and he can hurt you with his feet. Mayfield not known necessarily as a runner, but he's been known to, you know, pick him up and lay him down as well. But that's who he reminds me of.
I have to say to Greg and Epworth, I don't love Big Game James. I don't mind James Franklin. I'm okay with James Franklin. I just know that most of America doesn't like James Franklin. So that's kind of why I think it would be fun to watch Penn State go to the national championship game tonight.
Why don't people like James Franklin?
I don't know. I think he just rubs people the wrong way with some of his comments.
Ball hard or what?
Everyone loved him when he was just this cute little fuzzy coach down at Vanderbilt. And then he came to Penn State, and now nobody likes him anymore. He's also done a few things.
The record against top five, top 10 teams probably hasn't done him any good either, but he's on a nice run this year.
Certainly is. Matt in Fairfax, back to the Hawks, asking, glad they're adding offense, but what's the plan to replace Higgins and Jackson at linebacker? They like their linebackers they have returning. Jaden Harrell, sure, in there. Preston Reese, I think. Even though he is a youngster, I think he may fit into the plans. They could go out and get somebody in the portal. Jackson Rexroth in there as well, the former Xavier product. Derek Weisskopf from Williamsburg. You know, Weijen was pretty good from Williamsburg, Mark. Derek Weisskopf is going to be pretty good from Williamsburg, too. So I think they like their linebacking core.
Yeah, I don't have the answer to that. That's a big duo to replace. There's no question about that. But I always had to do that in the past with, you know, guys like Josie Jewell and Jack Campbell and whatnot, and there just seems to be another guy that steps in. But it's a legitimate question, no doubt.
96-63 says you can't bet against the luck of the Irish for Notre Dame. people don't like Penn State because of what happened there years ago. I believe you are absolutely right, Cyclone Tim. And that had nothing to do with James Franklin. Also says, pump the brakes on Notre Dame. They beat a Carson Beckless Georgia team. I don't like Penn State, but Cyclone Tim says, give me the Nittany Lions as well. So Cyclone Tim and I are, I'm not rooting for anybody tonight. I think Penn State might win this game tonight. And I've been on a pretty good roll lately.
It's not like Carson Beck was playing like Peyton Manning, and the backup wasn't bad either. But, okay, all right. Cyclone Tim and Scott, go with Penn State. Who's joining me with Notre Dame? Come on.
319-366-1600. Notre Dame obviously is a national product. There are going to be a lot of people that will be rooting for Notre Dame coming up tonight. I'm not rooting against Notre Dame. I just happen to think Penn State's going to win this game. What if it's an all Big Ten final? People thought they didn't want to hear about the SEC. Well, maybe the people around the country don't want to hear about the Big Ten gloating. We'll have to wait and see. Good Final Four, though.
Yeah, the SEC will love that if that happens, right?
Well, Texas hasn't lost yet.
Well, you said an all Big Ten championship.
Well, I know.
The SEC won't like that.
I still think tomorrow night's winner is going to win the national championship. I think tomorrow night's winner wins the national championship between Texas and Ohio State.
Well, that's true because Ohio State's going to win it.
Yeah, we'll see. Very good point from Gene and Vinton talking about the Iowa linebacking core. A lot of people said the same thing when Jack Campbell left. Who's going to be replacing the linebacking? Iowa still could go out and get a linebacker in the portal. Nick Jackson turned out to be a terrific linebacker. The young man out of Virginia wasn't, you know, the super sought after portal guy, but came in and did a tremendous job. Higgins, of course, sticking around. He was a Hawkeye recruit the entire way. Could find another Nick Jackson out there.
Who knew anything about Jay Higgins 3 years ago?
True. 52-59 is with you, Mark, for the Irish, and so is Greg and Epworth. They're all there. All right. Let's go to Mike and Marion before we get to an Emil Sideway scoreboard update here. Wants to comment about the game tonight between Notre Dame and Penn State. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
How's the bowling going?
It could be better.
Oh, it always could be. But I'll tell you what, when you're 75, you better hope you can throw the ball.
I'm not doing well at 58.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm down there I bowl the same in on Monday night down there at Mays, and it's a struggle.
What you got?
Okay, what I got is, I kind of agree with Mark in the way that what really tipped me off was that one play they ran where they were going to punt it, and then they sent the whole team back on the field in one stretch. You remember that in that game? Last game where they were – I think they were going to punt it.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they sent the regular offensive team back on, and it threw Georgia for a loop. I'll tell you, that Marcus Freeman, I'm afraid of him. You don't know what he's going to pull. I mean, he takes chances.
Not a Dan Campbell chance guy, but yes. And yeah, I'm with you, Mike, because I think there is going to be something addressed in the offseason with the whole substitution deal, because it's getting a little borderline gray area ridiculous right now. But
And good luck to the new Chicago Bears coach.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All righty. You betcha.
319-366-1600.
I think it will be addressed, too. I mean, you remember, I don't remember which bowl game it was, but Brett Bielema of Illinois accused of kind of stretching, you know, towing the line a little bit, subbing players late. And what was it, the South Carolina coach? Got that right?
Beamer.
He was exasperated. It might be. I don't know. But, you know, you go up to the edge of the line, and you're good.
Very true. We will not mention anything, Cyclone Tim, about your football coach maybe becoming Mark's football coach. Mark, as you told me earlier today, the only two people that the Bears are not thinking of talking to are you and I.
That's exactly what I said, and it's not too far from the truth.
Justin says, give me the under tonight. Whatever, whoever wins, doesn't matter. Just give him the under coming up this evening. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk some hoops. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will be joining us for our off-the-glass segment. Lots to get to. We got Iowa, Indiana coming up this weekend. Iowa State with two biggies starting Saturday. They've got Texas Tech on the road. Drake and you and I in action last night. What is happening in college basketball? We will get to that coming up here in just a couple of moments. But let's get it to Mark first for an Emels Hideaway scoreboard update at this time. Brought to you by Emels. They're on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot and behind Johnson Fitness. And they are a classic local American restaurant. You can dine in, get curbside pickup or delivery. They've got a terrific bar area, plus a very nice dining room as well. Online at emelshideaway.com. What do we got today?
One more piece of news out of the portal. In addition to Sam Phillips going from Chattanooga to Iowa, Georgia quarterback Carson Beck is in the portal. He's going to try that avenue, apparently, rather than enter the NFL draft or stay at Georgia. He announced he's heading for the portal. None other than Ohio State, reportedly, in his sights and theirs. USC defeated Maryland last night in women's basketball matchup of top 10 teams, 79-74. The Trojans went cross-country to knock off Brenda Freeze's team. In wrestling news, Iowa 149-pounder Kyle Parko has been named the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week after his championship at the Soldier Salute. And finally, I'm sorry, one more item. Kyle Kemp, the former Iowa State quarterback and passing game coach for the Cyclones, has been named offensive coordinator at Drake. And finally, the first full field event on the PGA Tour underway, the Sony Open in Hawaii. Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids trying to do something this year. We'll tee off at 4:40 with Matt Kuchar and Emiliano Grillo.
Yeah, off and running. The first full field event, Ben Griffin along with Henrik Norlander and Harry Hall, your leaders right now at -5 in beautiful, sunny Honolulu, where it's much warmer than it is right here in good old eastern Iowa. That's fine. Every day, Mark, is a day closer to spring. That's you got to remember that. We're one day closer than we were yesterday, right, Andrew?
Yeah, and I think it was sometime last week. It might have been Monday, as of like that weekend before, we've officially hit the past the halfway point, so the sun's starting to stay out a little bit longer now.
Days are getting longer.
Yeah.
Good point. Very good point. 1345, you said Ohio State, Mark. 1345 is saying they bet goes to Miami. I bet it's one of those two. It's going to be a one-year deal. He's going to make a slug of money, and the NFL can wait. And I guess if there is somewhat of a silver lining, maybe more in basketball than football, but if there is a silver lining, you're seeing guys stay in the college game a little bit longer due to NIL.
It's lucrative, and free agency is blossoming.
And it is nothing but free agency, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't think it is, then your head's in the sand at this point. 3:29, we'll take a break, come back. The coach, Kevin Lehman, joins us for our off-the-glass segment. That comes up next. We talk college hoops with you right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. We're going to have some sunshine, but through the day, clouds will be building in and they'll take over the skies this evening. That's ahead of a cold front that's also leading to the gusty south winds and temperatures in the upper 20s today. As we head into tonight, that front moves through, leading to the chance for some very light snow or flurries, and little to no accumulation is expected. Some flurries may linger through the day tomorrow, otherwise it'll be cloudy with a high around 30. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
It'd be nice to carry Lynn County REC around in your pocket, huh? You know, if you want to pay your bill.
It's right here in my pocket.
Want to check how much energy you're using any time of any day?
I'll just reach into my pocket.
Report an outage.
In my pocket.
Energy rebates are the latest from Lynn County REC. You guessed it.
Pocket.
It's that simple. All you need is the Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Then you can pay your bill, check your daily energy use, report an outage, etc., right from the phone in your pocket.
In my pocket.
If you're app savvy, just pick it up in the Apple app or Google Play Store. And if you'd like step-by-step instructions, that's a snap too. Get them at lynncountyrec.com, or even easier, hit up YouTube and watch Lynn County REC's Smart Hub video. Once you've got it ready to go, everything you need from Lynn County REC is right there in your pocket.
Pocket.
See how easy that is? The Lynn County REC Smart Hub app. Another one of the handy benefits of membership with Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Follow them on Facebook.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Randy's Flooring, Cedar Rapids Opera, Surgery Center Cedar Rapids, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
Do you have trouble getting in and out of the bathtub? Are you afraid you'll slip and fall entering or exiting a tub? SafeStep walk-in tubs can transform your bathtub from an area of concern to a calming refuge. Call them today at 1-800-731-4558 and save $1,600. SafeStep walk-in tubs and showers are proudly made in Tennessee and offer an ultra-low step-in, avoiding that difficult climb over a traditional bathtub wall. They also offer a variety of therapeutic benefits that may help soothe your aching muscles and joints, increasing your mobility, boosting your energy, and improving your sleep. SafeStep walk-in tubs are designed to easily fit your existing tub space and are often installed in as little as one day. Just dial 1-800-731-4558 today to save $1,600 and receive a free shower package. That's 1-800-731-4558 for a free no-obligation consultation and to save $1,600. Safe Step walk-in tubs. Safety never felt so good.
I'm Chris Shooter Lehman. The nickname has followed me from my college basketball days. Lifelong Iowa City resident and the youngest of nine, I've been involved in real estate for the past 25 years. I have extensive experience in both residential and income investment property. That gives me a definite edge in guiding you through today's changing market. I will guide you through the process and you can make informed decisions.
Chris Shooter Lehman with Edge Realty Group. Email shooter at edge-realtygroup.com.
Back with you at 3:32 here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class, 1600 ESPN. Scott, Mark, Andrew with you. We've got Spencer on sports coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And then we've got coverage of the Orange Bowl tonight between Penn State and Notre Dame. Looking forward to that game. Tomorrow night we've got Ohio State and Texas. And NFL playoff action for you throughout the weekend. We got Iowa State and Texas Tech for you as well. That'll be coming up on Saturday afternoon to get things started. Speaking of college basketball and college hoops, we bring in Kevin Lehman, the coach, with our Off the Glass segment. It is brought to you proudly each Thursday by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. And I want to thank Chris for all his help. And as usual, Kevin, you always know this, but Chris passes the ball to you with some great stuff. And there's got to be a great, great story behind this today. I'm supposed to ask you about the day the Uni Dome caught on fire while you were getting the courts ready for basketball camp.
Oh, yeah, we talk about that at every reunion, every basketball reunion. Oh, yeah, wow. That's quite a memory. So you want to hear about that one?
Well, yeah, a brief synopsis about the fire at the Unidome.
Well, you know, we had at one point the largest camp in America because we had with the Unidome, the rec center next door, Price Lamb High School, Cedar Falls High School. We had 23 courts going at once. But what we would do, Scott and Mark, we put all those baskets in on the Unidome. We rolled back the turf. We had 10 courts in there. So we had all this foam rubber around the concrete stanchions, and a guy was welding. There's a grate behind where the football team stands, a drainage grate, and he's welding that, and there's a pile of that foam next to it. And he's got his mask on. Well, we look up, and there's a flame probably 15 feet high, and he's welding it along. He doesn't even see it. But here's the best part of that story. There's a phone at the end of the dome. This is before cell phones. I dial the Cedar Falls Fire Department. And I say, the Unidome's on fire. Get a truck up here. And she kept asking me, what's the address? I said, it's the Unidome. Look out your window. It's the biggest place in the county. She goes, I need an address. I said, I don't know the address. It's the freaking Unidome. They're like three blocks away. I said, look out your window. It's going to be all flames if you don't get one up there pretty soon.
Obviously, they got there.
No, that's the best part. Oh. So Dave Kors, who was the Unidome manager, who basically raised my three sons because the Unidome was their personal playground. I think gave him an early heart attack watching my kids play down there. He comes out with a fire extinguisher and puts it out. So I go back and call back after all this, maybe 10 minutes later. I said, you can cancel the truck. And she said, well, we never sent it because we didn't have an address.
Oh, gosh.
It's like the biggest building. You can see it from Dyke. You can see it from Applington Parkersburg. Come on.
Oh, boy. Good story, though.
It was, yeah. We laugh about that every reunion, especially the managers who were responsible for setting up all those courts because they were all involved in this mess.
Well, that is a great story. And Mark and I know you listened quite a bit, but I don't know if you heard the first part of the show. We said we were going to give you full credit on the greatest analogy to go along with the Iowa men's basketball team that anybody has ever come up with. So I'm going to just give you center stage here in the spotlight and hit Eastern Iowa with that analogy.
Well, and this comes from my brother-in-law, who is a devout, Marty McDonald, devout Hawkeye fan. I thought of him, but I said, Iowa is like your ex-girlfriend. She always does something. You see her in Wisconsin game, it's like, I'm glad I broke up with her. Then you see her in Nebraska game, it's like, they always do something to make you fall in love with them again. And that's the Iowa basketball team.
Yeah, it was not pretty on Friday, but then at least anyway, the last, 12 minutes got a lot prettier, and then overtime on Tuesday night.
They're down 14. I thought they're going to get beat by 20-some at home by this Fred Hoiberg of Nebraska team. This guy's huge. That was a big team, and they were having their way with the Hawks early. But how about that Wisconsin game? They drop in 23s, the Badgers. That's when you break up with her. Hey, I'm done with this girl. And then they come back, and you fall in love again with the Hawkeyes. It's like this every year in the last couple of years with Fran McCaffrey teams.
Kevin, how do you score 2 points in a game and a half and 30 in one half?
Well, we call it getting in the groove or being in the zone. And the zone is this thing we all grasp for. And when you're in it, you know you're in it, and you don't know how you got there, and you just want to stay in it as long as you can. I'm sure you talked about Sanford. Yeah. Like in 17 minutes, he had 30 points. And you get in the zone, you hope it lasts forever, and it's fleeting, Mark. It goes away, and anybody that's played sports, they've been in the zone at some point. I give him credit because he was really struggling in that first half. I mean, he had open looks, just really struggled, and to stick with it. Josh Dix, was he fantastic throughout that entire game? He's the only guy that kept them close in the first half.
Josh Dix right now is the only player in the Big Ten shooting 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. I mean, this guy's making a pretty good case to land on one of the all-Big Ten teams.
Oh, no question. He makes it look easy. No one can't speed him up. He goes at his own pace. A great passer, too. If you look what he's doing with passing the basketball, just in Big Ten games alone, he's got 10 assists and only 2 turnovers. I mean, this, and who would have thought? You know, he had that broken leg in high school. He actually played for one of my former managers, Steve Nixon, over there in Council Bluffs. So I'm always getting texts from Nix about how well Josh Dix is doing it. And he loves him not only as a basketball player, but as a person. He's just really a solid young man.
Kevin, Scott and I talked yesterday about situations in that game, and one was Iowa had fouls to give, apparently, and up three, was it, Scott?
Yeah, three at the end.
And what about the strategy to just go ahead and foul, or maybe Iowa tried to foul?
They tried to.
Apparently.
Yeah, tried to.
I'm sorry?
Well, Brock Hardy tried to foul him.
Now, how hard do you go about it? Because obviously, and Harding, we had one of the texters who was behind the bench said that Brock Harding told the referee he was going to foul him.
Yeah, I saw him do it. I mean, I was sitting there right next to Robbie Hummel. I saw him go up and do it. Here's the issue you run into, and here's why players hesitate. Because now you see if that guy gets into the shooting motion as you go to bump him, then you got a problem. Because there's a potential three shots if he gets in the shooting motion. That's the danger of it. Now, I've had a coach tell me, I thought it was a very good strategy, if that offensive player has his shoulder, his back to me, we will foul. But he's facing me and start lifting that ball up in a shooting motion, then we don't foul. But Nick Nurse did a study, and I carry it with me when I do games. And one of the questions I ask every coach at the end of the shoot around, if you're up three, are you going to foul or are you going to defend? And Nick Nurse's study, he did like 300 games. And this is what Nick likes to do. He's a stat-aholic, that young guy. Now he's an older guy. But if you foul, the chance of that game going into overtime is less than 5%. If you defend and let them get the shot off like Nebraska did, the chance of it going to overtime is around 25%. So the odds are definitely with you to foul. But the hard part is to get players to do it without that hesitation. Because if you get – and then – Eldon Miller wouldn't do it the first couple of years I was with him because we had it at Dowling High School the year before it came into college in, what, 86, 87? And I told him what you needed to do. You know, three-point defense, got to have a play to get a three off. You got to be willing to foul under 5 seconds. And he said, oh, we'll never do that. About the third time somebody threw one in and it went overtime, he looked at me and said, okay, we're going to do it your way now. Teach him how to foul under five. And that's what we did from that point on. But I tell you what, Darren DeVries, I had that Kansas-West Virginia game. I said, he goes up three, he will not foul. And the reason why, because when I was coaching with Darren up there, Paul Lusk dove on a ball at midcourt for Southern Illinois, underhand threw it up. Cedric Snake Robinson jumped on him. They gave him three shots. We lost in overtime. And whenever I see Darren DeVries and I ask him that question, he just goes, Paul Lusk, I will never do it.
Paul, of course, assistant coach at Purdue still, right?
Yeah, great guy. You know, yeah. He was at Missouri State. Then he went with Greg McDermott at Creighton. Really, really solid. I was at the game when I was playing at Drake when he broke his leg.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? I think it's the same injury that Josh Dix had.
Very true. Couple things before we leave the Big Ten for you. Number one, for our friend Greg in Epworth, who loved watching Wisconsin shoot 65% against Iowa on Friday night. Yeah, what are your thoughts about Wisconsin and holding Harper to zero the other night, which was pretty outstanding? And then what do you think about Mick Cronin calling out the UCLA Bruins publicly?
Oh, I didn't hear what Mick was doing. I'm trying to get ready. I got this Kansas-Cincinnati game coming up, and I had Northern Iowa last night against they lost the heartbreaker to Steve Prohm, Murray State. So what did Mick who'd he call out?
Oh, he called out the whole team. He just said they were soft. They don't work in practice, and he said that in the post game news conference after the Michigan loss.
You know, I've done a number of Mick Cronin games when he's at Cincinnati. I love the guy. He is a great dude, and he just doesn't. I would say he's probably being very truthful with his team, and he's trying to get a reaction out of that team who has a hard time scoring the basketball, but his teams traditionally are great defensively teams that struggle a little bit at the offensive end.
And what about Wisconsin's defense?
Against the Hawks?
Well, against anybody. Well, against Rutgers the other night.
I didn't see that one either.
Yeah, they held Harper to zero the other night.
I'm still trying to figure out Iowa's ball screen defense against Wisconsin Badgers and their weak side rotations against that that ball screen, because Kent McClaws and Rob Brooks and I did that. We do that black and gold breakdown, and Kent always diagrams a play. I said, "Hey, Kent, you're doing Iowa's defense, aren't you?" And he goes, "I never looked at the defense, Kevin. I'm a shooter. You coaches look at the defense." I said, "That backside was horrific. They couldn't guard anybody when that ball came out of that double team." So I'm still a little bit stunned from – that's when I broke up with the Hawks. And then I fell in love with, again, sitting courtside against Nebraska.
You can talk me out of it, Kevin, but I think people might break up with the Hawks after the next three games.
Well, that's – I think I've been in this situation like the last two or three years with them. And I look at their stats. I mean, if you look at their four games against Big Ten teams, they're getting crushed in the glass, which they have all year. And they're giving up. I mean, the people are shooting 53% against them. Of course, 44% from the three, but a lot of that is skewed by that Wisconsin game. But I think they got coming up here, what, Indiana?
Saturday night.
Ballo, a seven-footer inside. He's a double-double guy, 7 foot, 265. But I tell you what I do now when I start looking at opponents for the Hawks, how well do these teams shoot the three ball? Indiana, not a great shooting team, which makes me think, Hawks got a chance. I got a chance.
Yeah. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us. 3:45, our off-the-glass segment. Iowa State, they got a tough one. They have not fared well in Lubbock a lot. They get Texas Tech this weekend. And then back home for the Kansas game in Hilton Coliseum, they may already be lining up for that one.
I think this is one of the big test for them is go to Lubbock against Texas Tech. Grant McCausland, they do a lot of the same things defensively that Iowa State does. Be a little bit like playing in a mirror. They're also playing faster this year. The Red Raiders are, just like Iowa State is. I think that's huge for them. If they can get by that one, and you got Kansas at home now. Kansas is a flawed team offensively. They went and put a pounding on Central Florida after that loss to West Virginia. They won against Arizona State last night. I'm prepping right now. I've got them at Cincinnati, which is 0-3. On Saturday afternoon in Cincinnati. But Kansas is a flawed team. Coming into Hilton, I think the biggest test for Cyclones right now is, can they get by this one at Texas Tech? Think about this with the Cyclones, guys. They're like one turnover away from being ranked number one in the country and being undefeated. That one turnover they had in that game against Auburn in Hawaii.
Kevin, Drake dropped a couple, but got a big win last night. And if I'd have told you Bennett Sturts was only going to score 4 points, how big of a chance would you have given the Bulldogs?
Zero. I had the game Sunday against Steve Pearl's Murray State team, and they put a 6'6 athlete on Sturts and tried to wear him out. That's how they got the win. And the thing we said about Drake is they have no bench. They have no bench. Lo and behold, they go into Peoria, 44 bench points from Drake. Just amazing. The guys that – Kale Combs hardly played. He comes off the bench for 10. Isaiah Howard is the freshman that was the hero, almost the hero of the game against Murray State. He comes off the bench for 8. He played a total of 7 games before the Murray State game. So I tell you what, I've been really impressed by Ben McCollum at Drake. He's pressed so many buttons. Because you talk about a flawed team, that team's got some major flaws. They don't shoot it that well. They're one or two guys. They got one post player, and they got Bennett Sturts, who's been outstanding. But to win at Bradley, that's saying something for Drake. And they just gave us the wild card game on the 19th. They're going to be at Indiana State on an ESPN2 game here on the Saturday the 18th. The ESPN wanted to wait until last night's games were over, where they picked that game or Bradley at Murray State, and they took the Drake at Indiana State game for their highlight game that weekend.
Oh, the Holman Center. And Terre Haute.
Yeah, obviously to see if they filled up. Like, you know, it was crazy their last year with Robbie Avila playing.
Yeah.
See if they still have that fan base.
Doing it in St. Louis right now. You mentioned the Valley. The bad part of Drake losing those back-to-back games is that took a lot of luster from the non-conference wins, especially that win against Vanderbilt. And as long as they keep winning, things are looking good for Drake. But the Valley, to get two bids, they just can't cannibalize themselves, as you said. Three losses maybe for Drake or Bradley get them to the championship. against one another. Maybe then, if you don't have a bunch of Power 5 teams that are coming out of nowhere like NC State last year to win a conference championship, then they got a shot. Other than that, it's probably one.
Yeah, I think it's probably one. I think those days, once you get past those Power 4 leagues, the Big East is number 5, you know, Mount West, A-10. Mount West is going to get decimated because of their merger with the Pac-12. We'll see what happens to that league. A-10, once you get past that, the Big West with Gonzaga, which is leaving their league also, everybody else is going to be one big league, guys. It's just, it doesn't happen anymore because you can't get the numbers, the metric numbers that we like to talk about in the net. It isn't going to happen. And look at, as you look at the Valley standings, there are like 8 teams now tied for second at 3-2. That there's great balance in that. Can Drake emerge again? They got 2 losses. Can Bradley hang on? Murray State's pretty good. Northern Iowa has trouble shooting the 3. We'll see what happens. But I tell you what, it's a lot better basketball in that league than I thought we'd see because of what's happened, the loss of really good players by almost everybody in the league through the transfer portal. They've reloaded with some really good kids.
Speaking of the net, Kevin, it's time for Mark's net moment.
I printed the net out.
Circle back a little bit. Iowa's got a higher net than Indiana.
I printed the net just for you.
Iowa went up 3 spots last night, and they sat on their couch.
Yeah, I got about 4 spots. Yeah, but still, if you look at the Lenardi bracketology, Iowa is not in, and he's got 11. Big Ten teams in the field, including Penn State, which net is not, it's right next to Iowa's, but he's got 11 teams. And I think he's talking 13 from the SEC as of today's latest analytics. But SEC guys is really loaded. That league is really good.
It is.
Who's the best team in the Big Ten, Kevin?
Boy, that's a great question. I think the best upside, Mark, the team that scares me the most is Illinois.
Yep. I agree. That was a very – going out to Oregon and Washington and winning those two is – that is no easy task. And I think Big Ten teams are going to find that out when they go on those West Coast swings. Iowa's got theirs coming up.
Yeah, that'd be really – see how good the Hawks are. But here's the thing about Brad Underwood at Illinois. He's an old JUCO coach. Turner Rosters – is a way of life in junior college. And he was really successful in those Jayhawk conference in Kansas, which back in the day was loaded with great players. So for him to turn a roster, no problem. So I think he's got a big advantage on some of these more traditional coaches in the Big Ten when it comes to this portal and roster turning. But yeah, I think biggest upside there. And this Michigan team still intrigues me a little bit. And I think Oregon with Dana Altman probably going to hear some noise from also. After that, I don't know, guys. I don't know where you go. I don't really trust Michigan State right now. And Maryland has not impressed me, and I don't know. Wisconsin, if you wash out that game against Iowa, I don't know where the Badgers are at.
I think there are a lot. There's Illinois. By the way, the Lithuanians are really good for the Illini. Really, really good.
Yeah.
The Big 12, really good teams with Iowa State, Houston. I think Kansas is still a really good team. Baylor, I don't know if they can shoot it good enough. We're going to find out. Texas Tech is tough. Arizona's playing better as of late. I still like Iowa State or Houston in the Big 12. So, you know, we're going to find out. But Auburn's number one. Auburn loses. They go to South Carolina this weekend. If they lose and if Iowa State can beat Texas Tech, Cyclones could be number one in the land.
Yeah, like I said, I've been so busy. I've had so many games. Who knocked off Tennessee? Florida smacked
them. Florida smacked them, yeah.
It was at Gainesville.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to see that. I'm surprised Tennessee lasted as long as they did. I think once you get in a league play, it's going to be like these football playoffs. Anybody can beat anybody. You know, look at Central Florida wins at Tech. Kansas doubles them up back at Orlando. So it's going to be a strange year because there's so much talent out there and so much parity in college basketball. I think we see it in the Valley. You're going to see it in the Big Ten. You're going to see it in the Big 12.
All right, Kevin, have fun this weekend. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys, if you ever have a fire in Cedar Falls, make sure you know the address of the place that's on fire.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have
you bet. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us each Thursday with our Off the Glass segment brought to you by Chris Lehman with Edge Realty Group in Iowa City. We're back to have a bowling night in America wrap-up for you after this.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
It's a key ingredient called Tesnor. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. Total T is backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text LION to 321321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever. Absolutely free. Text LION to 321321. That's LION to 321321.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
And with this Bowling Night in America wrap-up, it is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. We'll give you the phone number and the website coming up here in just a moment. Not the greatest night had by the Rusty Nails last night.
No, but there wasn't a fire, okay?
There was not, no.
Rough night for the Rusty Nails. Second week in a row, losing 19-11. Off to a rocky start in the second half, but a long ways to go here to make up ground. We'll see about next week.
Yep, always good to see the Evans Plumbing gang, and they took it to us last night, but we still had a good time. And who performed well last night?
The high game was rolled by Dan Snyder at 288. High series, A.J. Begley with 750.
That's good bowling. Especially after a layoff. I found out that a lot of people are in other leagues, though. They kept bowling, and we took 3 weeks off. So maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. Perhaps we should have called a practice, and then we thought about it and said, no, we were fine. If you would like to inquire about open bowling, everything, all their different things that they have to offer over at May City, go ahead and give them a call or stop on by there, Mark.
Indeed. Phone number 362-0136. And you can visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com. And sorry, Milton, Iowa City. I wasn't really joking. I was about a fire in Cedar Rapids. I was kind of playing off Kevin Lehman's Unidome story from years and years ago.
Yeah. No fires last night, at least at the bowling alley. There were some teams that were shooting at ball very well last night, though. All right, I took Penn State. You took Notre Dame. We'll see what happens. We'll have the official pick six coming your way tomorrow, among other things, on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. Have a good night, Mark.
Will do. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Harry Douglas here. Say goodbye to bulky, clunky shavers that clutter your bathroom. Not only do you get an incredible shave, Panasonic's Palm Razor